of the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope you guys are having a fantastic day today. And I got Dad again on the phone, which is fantastic. He's got a pretty good signal. And we're trying to stay high and dry down here in Florida. It's been a little difficult last night, but we're pushing through. We always do. These hurricanes are just something something we get normally in Florida. But other than that, how are you doing, Dad?
Oh, I'm doing absolutely wonderful today, Austin. I've got a great signal. I've actually got a rest area on the side of the interstate that's actually quiet, which is like a miracle. So I'm actually really, really excited about doing the show today. I've got a whole bunch of nutrition articles I've pulled up that are pretty impressive. So I want to cover some of them first, but why don't you go ahead and get started with the news first?
Okay, good. Well, we, as everybody knows, we do have a tropical storm coming hitting land here tonight. It'll be running in a little bit below Tallahassee, between Tallahassee and Gainesville on the west coast. We've been getting a tremendous amount of water. It's going to be raining pretty much for the foreseeable future into the weekend, but hopefully it'll pass through, so we may have a decent weekend after the rain goes off. But one thing I wanted to bring up, this is really interesting now. The after years of growing concerns over in California, a California state audit has produced some really, really alarming reports describing how the state's 79,000 foster children are being drugged with psychotropic medications at abnormally high rates. The report found that over 12% of kids in California's welfare system were prescribed psychotropic medications, including antipsychotics, antidepressants, and mood stabilizers between 2014 and 15. Some of these vulnerable children were drugged in amounts and dosages that exceeded state guidelines. Some counties even violated the law by failing to obtain court or parental approval for psychotropic medications. California spent $226 million just on psychotropic medications for foster children over the last decade. The investigation goes on to highlight several disturbing practices that have become the norm in the state's child welfare system. Nearly 60% of foster kids receiving medication were put on risky antipsychotics. More than 12% of the foster kids on meds in 2013 were put on between two, three, four, or more psychotropic drugs. They said foster children ages five and younger were also put on psychotropics, even though federal health officials said it was not safe at all. A mere 10% of the state's highest prescribers were responsible for about 50% of the time when foster children received an antipsychotic, which is classified as the riskiest class of psychiatric drugs with the most harmful side effects. In San Bernardino County, one psychiatrist prescribed antipsychotics to over 330 children over a five-year period. And when one antipsychotic didn't work or wasn't enough, Dr. Waris Waylett routinely prescribed another that he has now gotten in trouble for. So this is crazy because we see how bad California has gotten as far as their control over the people. It's vaccine mandatory. The gun rights have completely dissolved. Everything over there is just coming unhinged. And now we see that their foster children that they take care of, over almost 80,000 of them, are being drugged and given antipsychotic, antipsychiatric medications on a regular basis. This is why it's so important to make sure, especially if you have kids that you're raising healthy, to do the very best you can to always keep them out of that basically child protective services, because now we've seen all kinds of stuff from child sex trafficking to this massive overdosing of antipsychotics to everything across the board when they get involved in that. It's just a whole other just lifestyle over there that's really sad. I feel bad for a lot of these kids that have no choice in that. I really do pray for them. But it's, again, something that people need to look at, that this is not normal behavior, given 4 and 5-year-olds antipsychotic medication. It's not healthy at all for brain development, and it's really sad it happens. I know we've heard about it a lot, but that's why I wanted to bring it up. Well, what's your take on that, Dad?
Well, I've worked with a lot of folks who work with children who are troubled teens, and they're really good organizations that take in troubled teens. They make sure that kids come off the psychiatric drugs, or they attempt to do it in all cases. For instance, I know one lady, she was working with a group out west, And she said that one of the children who came into the foster care program, in fact, into the school system, was on 22 prescription drugs.
Man.
Now, I've seen that. I've seen it with adults, and I've seen it with children. And what they do, they've now had them come into my office back in the 80s and have a clinic going full speed, and they would literally bring me a grocery store bag full of psychotic drugs they were taking and different chemicals and et cetera they're putting into their bodies. And it's scary, Austin, because the problem is you never get a chance to see the child's true personality. Now, this is all because of political correctness. Let me go ahead and start this why I'm not saying this. In the vast majority of the cases, and here's why. If you say to the teacher in a classroom, you can't spank this child, that teacher in that classroom, if they don't receive parental response and respect to try to correct the behavior of that child in the classroom, the teacher doesn't have any choice of that class being disrupted by that child to drug that child into a stupor, into submission. And this happens all of the time, and I've seen it hundreds of times. In some classrooms, there's more children taking drugs for psychotic behavior than there are children who are not taking drugs. So when you send them to a good program, unlike the state foster care programs, they'll, in many cases, work with that child and work with the parents and work with the physicians on titrating the dosing down until they get that child off all the medication. Because if you put a child on 6 or 8 different psychotic meds and then along with additional medications to cover all of those side effects from those different meds, you really don't know what type of personality that child has. You don't even know who that child is. And this is sad because it happens all the time in the public school systems. It happens all the time in the foster care system. And so it's like Austin said, if I had a child who was in the public school system and the teacher suddenly decides, who does not have a medical degree, by the way, that child needs to be on Ritalin, and they decide that child cannot stay in that room with the rest of the kids unless that child is on Ritalin, I'm going to basically find another alternative for the school system. I'm probably going to go ahead and homeschool that child or put that child in private parochial school. Now, sadly, a lot of these children has extreme nutritional deficiencies and absolutely extreme toxicities. In other words, they may be allergic to red dyes or the blue dyes and the yellow dyes. I've seen that my office many, many times. Because a lot of the food that you buy has all kinds of dyes in it. So what I always tell folks before they try psychiatric drugs on a child, try dietary change. Try lifestyle change. Try everything you possibly can do first before you start putting that child on drugs, because a lot of times with drugs like Xanax, when you get on that kind of stuff off, we've done shows on it, it's almost impossible to come off, and the side effects can be more extreme than heroin addiction trying to come off these psychotic drugs. So guys, take a little bit of advice here if you don't mind. Before you put a child on a drug, try every natural alternative possible, and like Austin said again, try to avoid Child Protective Services. If you are contacted by the Department of Child Protective Services in your state, you need to immediately get an attorney. It doesn't matter if you can afford it or not. You have to borrow the money. Have your attorney represent you. Never allow them to question the child without your attorney present. You may not be able to be there, but your attorney can be there. They do not have the right to question that child without legal representation if you insist on it. In fact, they don't have a chance. They don't have a right to talk to the child or talk to you if your attorney's not present, if you tell them that you want to get an attorney. So always remember that you've got to lawyer up. Let's say, for instance, somebody lies about you and they drop a dime on you, which they do in many states, and say so-and-so was abusing so-and-so. Abuse never took place. It doesn't make any difference. Now you get stuck in the gauntlet of Child Protective Services, and if you don't have a good attorney, they basically can do whatever they want to do with you, including seizing children. Now, the good news about this is, if you do have an attorney, it slows them down, and in most cases, they don't want to bother with you because you're putting up too much resistance and they can't run you through the mill like they want to do. It requires too much paperwork. And I know that sounds silly, but that's just the truth. And they don't want to deal with the paperwork. They want to close their case files as quickly as possible. So when you have an attorney open a case on them with them, it creates tremendous problems because they have to wait for the attorney to get back with them. They can't question you without the attorney present. They can't question the kids without the attorney present. And so what ends up happening, it creates a lot of extra work they don't want to do because most of these agencies are extremely overworked. Now, having said that, I'm going to say this. In some cases, Child Protective Services may be necessary for children that are actually being physically or sexually abused in their home. Now, I'm not talking about swatting them on the bottom with a paddle. I'm not talking about it. I'm talking about beating children, getting them down on the ground and beating them with your fist until they're black and blue, or breaking bones on these kids. That's got to be taken care of. I mean, that's absolutely awful if the parents are on drugs or if the mother's a prostitute, if the dad's basically an abuser or a pimp. You know, that's the type of people who need to be involved in getting Child Protective Services involved with them, not the general population. But remember, the Black Lives Matter came out with a statement just a couple of days ago, and they're trying to get away from the entire concept of raising a child with a family. They want the community to be involved. They want the other liberals to be involved. They want the community effort to raise the children. Now, why is that so important in the black communities? Here's why. About 90% of the men who are in prison who are black, which makes up about 90% of the population in some states of prisoners, don't know who their daddies are. There's no daddies at home. The phone on Mother's Day in these prisons when these blacks are calling home is basically, you know, all the way out the prison doors as far as it can get because everybody's trying to call their mama or they're writing their mama's letters or whatever. Not the same for the fathers. The vast majority of these boys in prison have no idea who their daddies are. So if Black Lives Matter wants to change anything, Austin, they need to learn that they need to restore the nuclear family in the black community instead of wanting to destroy the nuclear family in the white community. They should already see that that concept simply doesn't work. What do you think, Oz?
No, you're absolutely right. The whole ideology of family as a whole, as a unit, needs to be brought back to this country. Everybody's gotten into this idea now of you know, everybody just kind of raised this, and everybody's trying to push, and the government's really trying to push this, along with the media, trying to push the idea of the collective growth of children as far as the government takes care of your kids, the school system takes care of your kids, and basically everybody works together. And on paper, and as far as an idea, that sounds great if we really had a fully based Christian government and Christian schools that were really, really actually truly about bringing everybody together and raising them through a Christ-centered education like they did back in the day. You know, in the olden days, you know, in the early settler times, that's what they did. They basically had school at church. That's where everybody came together. The kids had specific little, you know, houses they'd go to. They'd go to the church, and they'd have school there, and they'd learn what they need to do, and they'd go back out and work and do what they had to do. And so that worked. The community came together, helped teach children, helped bring them up, and everybody did their part. The problem is that concept does not work in the society that we currently live in because we have too many takers, and also, too, we've completely gone away from our Christian background. So everything is about, oh, don't want to offend anybody, don't want to tell anybody what they can do, don't want to make anybody feel bad, don't want to do this, don't want to do that. And on top of that, now we're promoting this Islam, Satanism, every single perverted religious belief you can think of, we're actually promoting it now. Instead of promoting Christianity, we're kicking it out the door at these school systems and what the government's doing. So yes, you're absolutely right. The ideology of having to bring families back together to raise the kids is a very, very good idea. The old concept no longer works with how our society is degraded now.
No, you're absolutely right. Let's go ahead and change the news now because I think we've discussed this enough. The global supply chain, basically for shipping, has been paralyzed now after the world's seventh largest container shipper files for bankruptcy out of South Korea. South Korea's biggest shipping firm announced a filing for receivership and request to the court to freeze its assets, which the Seoul Central District Court planned to grant, a judge told Reuters. As part of the company's insolvency process, the court will now decide whether Hajim Shipping should remain as an ongoing concern or be dissolved, a process that usually takes 1 or 2 months but is expected to be accelerated in this case. A bankruptcy for this shipping container group will be the largest ever for a container shipping company. I mean, this is crazy because their products are now being denied accessibility into ports. In other words, they're being told they can't even dock because they can't pay their bills. And so they have to pay to unload. So all of these people that have shipping on these types of container trucks out of South Korea, which could definitely affect Hyundai, if Hyundai is shipping products on this particular container, could be back-ordered and backlogged now. So this is nuts. This is actually happening. Another thing with the economic program that's going on in Canada, this is really bad for Canada. During the second quarter of 2016, Canada's GDP contracted at a 1.6% annualized rate. This is the worst number in 7 years, and it was even worse than most analysts were projecting. This comes at a time when bad news is pouring in from all corners of the global economy, while things in the United States are still relatively stable because they're being basically bought up by the central banks. The same cannot be said for most of the rest of the planet. Canada in particular has been hit very hard by collapse of oil prices. A massive wildfire in northern Alberta back in May certainly not helping. For many years, high oil prices and booming exports enabled the Canadian economy to significantly outperform the U.S. economy, but now the conditions have changed dramatically, and all the economic bubbles up in Canada are about to burst. So, guys, listen to me. You better have your house in order economically. I'm not an investment planner, and I'm not giving you any investment advice, but if you've made money in the stock market right now, this is an artificially bubbled asset allocation. I'm going to give you some advice that no one bothered to give me back in 2007. Sell while you can, and you've got a profit on the books. This thing could completely and totally unwind. If they want to, after Trump becomes president, they could collapse it. They could collapse it before he becomes president. All they have to do is raise interest rates a couple points, and this thing's going to just fall apart hand over fist because the bond prices will continue to collapse. So if you've got money in the system now, you've got a profit, and you can step away, I really suggest that. But again, check with your financial planner or your attorney before you do anything I tell you to do, because that's not my deal. But I tell you what, guys, I'm out of equities, and I'm not planning on going back into it again. What do you think about that, Oz?
No, absolutely. You're 100% right. And the same thing in the market with gold and silver paper. This article just came out today from RT. Clients of Germany's biggest bank who have invested in the exchange-traded commodity, Xetra Gold, that's Xetra Gold, are facing problems now obtaining any physical gold. Xetra Gold is a bond on the Deutsche Börse commodities. On the website, Xetra Gold says its clients have the right for physical delivery of gold. In order to facilitate delivery of physical gold, the issuer holds a further limited amount of gold on an unallocated weight account with Umicore AG & Co. However, despite claims that every gram of gold is backed by the same amount of physical gold. That's a lie. Clients have been refused the precious metal on demand. According to God Mode Trader now, they're stating the multiple people now have sought physical delivery of their holdings of Xetra Gold. For this, he approached, as instructed by the German Börse document, his principal bank, Deutsche Bank. He was told, however, get this, that the service was no longer available for reasons of business policy. If he wanted to withdraw his gold, they would settle his amount via check, but they would not issue physical gold. The article went on to say it is not yet clear whether other banks are still delivering gold through Xetra either. Xetra claims it's holding almost 85 tons of gold, but troubles with delivering even small gold amounts to retail clients by Deutsche Bank may indicate that a global physical gold shortage is growing. And this is what I've told people so many times. If you can't physically walk around and hold your gold or hold your silver, touch it, look at it, play with it, count it. If you can't do that, guys, it's not your gold. They will not give your gold out on these. Almost all these places now are contracting this. They do not have the physical gold that they've let out on paper now. The last time, I remember on the last market report I read, they were saying somewhere around on the gold exchange, there's 328 ounces of gold paper traded for every 1 ounce of physical gold in existence. That's a 328-to-1 ratio. Those numbers don't work with me. I'm not confident with a company holding my gold, telling me I can have it whenever I want it, but then when I want it, they don't have it. That's what's happening now. If this starts to go down the rabbit hole that we think it is, this will not stop, and it will not stop quickly. Gold, physical gold, will go up so abruptly as soon as people find out that the physical amount doesn't exist anymore, which it does not, in my opinion. So be very, very cautious if you guys have a lot of money tied up. If it's a small amount, it's a savings here or there, it is what it is. But if you put a large amount of your investment in paper gold holdings that you can't physically touch, you really need to reevaluate what you're doing with them and whether or not you want to keep your gold there. Like Dad said, I'm not an investment planner. That's just my opinion. Take it for what it is. But use your head on this stuff, guys, because if something starts collapsing, and these guys start pulling physical metal out, and they can start taking delivery of it, how long do you think they're actually going to allow physical to be delivered when they're already restricting it right now, and everything's supposedly hunky-dory, everything's great, the housing market's coming back, it's fantastic, that's what they're telling us, yet they're still refusing to deliver gold. something big is going to happen. We all know it. We all feel it. So be prepared financially the best you can be, and that's what I have to say about that.
You know, I was speaking to a physicist, research scientist, a few years ago, and I was asking him about the gold. And you were in on this conversation, Austin, but I'm not going to mention any names. And we were talking about gold and why it's so precious, why it's being used, why it's so short. And he was saying that a lot of people believe that in the new advanced weaponry and interstellar transport and interdimensional, how should I say this, travel, in which they apparently are involved in now with these off-world entities, that gold is used. And so now, if that's true or not, it would explain why we have these massive shortages of gold all over the place, but you're supposed to have hundreds of thousands of metric tons all over the place that nobody can deliver gold anymore.
Yep.
Or the Rothschild thing is basically hoarding it all. Remember, there were huge amounts of gold deposits in the trade towers when they fell. And then remember, the basements were never collapsed, but the vaults were empty. Now, this is crazy, but that's actually what happened. If you start watching the movies like Loose Change, or basically the other one is 9/11 Mysteries, it talks about all the gold that went missing in the bottom of the trade towers from the vaults they have there. So whatever's going on with gold, it's something strange. It's almost as if these off-world entities find it as precious as we do, which I find kind of odd, personally. But something's going on with it in which it's not available. And also be very careful, because some of the central banks a few years ago were found guilty of trading tungsten bars that were gold-plated, because the molecular weight is almost identical with tungsten and gold, but it wasn't gold, it was tungsten. They were actually dipping these bars into gold, plating them, and selling them as actual gold. And when they started drilling the bars, they found that they were basically tungsten, which is just a fraction of the value of gold. So be really careful that you know who your suppliers are. There's several good ones out there. You can also use Steve Quayle, Renaissance Precious Metals. I've never used Steve with any gold transactions, but he's got a really, really good reputation. He's a good friend of mine. So I recommend using him and give him a call. Another good one that you could use and you could price the pricing with is APMEX, APMEX. I have used APMEX, as Austin has also, and we've never had any problems with APMEX. So either one of those, I have no interest as far as making any commissions or any of that on those two referrals that I just gave you. So guys, use your own thought and what you want to do with that. But Austin's right. If you're not physically holding the gold, or unless you don't physically have it in a safety deposit box, or on deposit in your bank in gold, then you don't have it. Paper means nothing, because nowadays they're telling us that the paper basically can't be fulfilled. And same thing with the COMEX. The COMEX does not have enough gold to settle to state the everyday's trade in gold, and they've started changing it and settling it all in paper, which is kind of crazy. Here's another article. It's about magnesium. And this is a really important article, because I've covered a lot of the information on magnesium, and I've told you guys about this. My wife, Sharon, had real bad spinal stenosis years ago. Started using our magnesium foot soak, and basically was able to dissolve the calcium spurs in her back and help her fingers with arthritic conditions that she had. And now they're starting to find out that we have this massive, massive need for magnesium in our bodies every single day. I always look at it like this. Magnesium is the gasoline in your tank. Calcium is the oil in the oil reserve. The oil is recycled constantly. The magnesium is burned and used. It's used in over 300 biochemical reactions in the body. Side effects of not having sufficient quantities of magnesium and having deficiencies in this particular mineral include fibromyalgia, atrial fibrillation, type 2 diabetes, PMS, premenstrual syndrome, cardiovascular disease and mortality, migraine disorders, aging. This list is just on and on and on. Remember, one of the primary reasons for the cardiovascular disease is if you don't have sufficient quantities of magnesium in your diet, the calcium can actually build up in your diet and cause atherosclerotic plaquing and hardening of the arteries. So guys, please listen to me. Make sure you get sufficient quantities of magnesium. But remember, it's very difficult to take it orally because it acts as a laxative in the body. That's why, like last night, we stopped at a campground. And we went on the road yesterday, and I actually turned magnesium foot bath on in the motorhome, and I actually soaked my feet last night to get enough calcium absorbed through my skin. Now, we've had great results with our products. I've got another good friend of mine. He decided to try to save a little bit of money and go online and try to buy straight magnesium chloride, and he soaks his feet in that, and he's been doing it for months. He has heel spurs, has not helped one bit. fact, I asked him, I said, are you using our magnesium product that we know works? He goes, no, I found it cheaper online, and it does not work. Guys, again, it's like nutritional supplementation. The quality is dependent upon the raw materials. The raw materials are dependent upon the person getting the raw materials, and you can get a bad product if you're not careful in any different avenue of a health food product, including GMO foods that are claiming to be health foods, supplements that are basically all biochemical synthetics. Don't do that. Use the natural stuff and use the best stuff that we have, and that's healthfasters.com. What's your next story, Oz?
Oh, yeah, and to add on that, too, and I told our listeners this last week, I'm going to reiterate it again. I have a good friend of mine that I've known for years. We grew up together at church. He started working out with me again recently, and he's tried a couple different proteins from GNC in the past. He told me, he goes, the problem is I bought some of this stuff, and it's expensive at GNC. He goes, I don't feel very good when I drink it. He goes, it always makes me kind of feel like bloated, and I don't have much energy, and I kind of feel worse than I did. And so he came over here, and I gave him a can of our Fit Food he bought from us, and he texts me up that next night, and he goes, man, he goes, I can't believe how much energy I have on this. He bought a bottle of Ultimate Multiple and a bottle of Fit Food. That's it. And he said, I can't believe how much energy I feel and how good I feel with this protein. He goes, I actually feel like my body's regenerating as I'm drinking it. He goes, it's amazing. He goes, this stuff is completely different than all the stuff I've tried at GNC. And I'm not sitting here trying to bash everything that's in GNC store, but I am saying that there's a lot of really slimy companies out there now that have wormed their way into the health industry that are producing nothing but pure synthetic Chinese garbage, and they're putting it in tubs and marketing it to these kids and teenagers that are into working out and bodybuilding, and it's complete and total dog poo. As I've told you guys before, a lot of this stuff I wouldn't even give to my pit bulls. It's so disgusting and chemically laced. So really, really, really evaluate this, because I've had people be like, well, that's expensive. You know, your Fit Food's, you know, $50 a can, but I can get one of the mega ultra bag tubs from GNC for $40 and it'll last me longer. And I say, well, how are you growing on it? How do you feel on it? Well, I don't feel very good when I drink it. It makes me constipated. My stomach hurts. Well, that's good. You keep drinking your chemically laced Chinese protein and let me know how that works out for you, while you save your $10 a can, and I'll keep drinking my Fit Food and feeling great every day. I'm not going to argue with you. If you don't want to make the decision, that's your choice. But once you try it, you understand why the Fit Food is so popular and why we sell so much of it. We use pure New Zealand whey protein. They have the cleanest bovine laws in the world. They have the cleanest whey protein in the world, where actually you get the cold processed microfiltered whey directly from the milk. It's not the fourth thing down the line like everybody does. Remember, understand, guys, whey protein in most instances in the United States is a byproduct of cheese manufacturing. It's the last thing that hits the floor that nobody knows what to do with. So they scoop it up with a shovel, literally, throw it in a 55-gallon barrel, and sell it to the market. The market picks it up for pennies on the dollar because nobody wants it. They turn around, throw some artificial cookies and cream flavor in it, some sucralose, a couple fancy names that they slap on the bottle, and put a big buff bodybuilder on the front label, and everybody goes crazy and buys it for $50, $60 a can, and it's absolute garbage. So I just wanted to bring that up again, that there's a reason why our products cost what they do. We don't make that much money on them. We have some very, very high quality nutrients that cost a lot of money to manufacture, but there's a reason why our products work. There's a reason why people come back and buy them, and there's a reason why everybody that tries them almost 99.9% of the time sticks with us after they start using our products, because it's that effective and they work. So, yeah, I did just want to add on to that, what you said, Dad, because a lot of people ask me that about the cost. Quite frankly, when it comes to quality of nutrients, especially what you put in your body, money, in my opinion, is not an option. Obviously, being reasonable with it, but in most cases, money is not an option. You can save a couple dollars to buy some cheaper stuff that may actually cause more damage than good. No, that's not worth it, in my opinion, especially not what we're getting onslaughted with the chemtrails, the GMOs, the chlorine, the fluoride, all this stuff we exposed to on a daily basis. You got to do the best you can with what you actually know you're putting in your body, and making sure you know what you're putting in your body is pure, clean nutrients that your body can actually process and utilize to make you healthier and stronger, not some garbage that they sell at the store.
No, you're absolutely right. In fact, a lady called us just the other day. In fact, sent us a letter. one of the emails. We have a plethora of emails every day, and she actually said that she'd been using another iodine product that someone had been selling online, another alternative health practitioner, and she said the stuff tasted absolutely awful. She hated putting it in her body. It didn't make her feel good. She got zero response out of it. She started using our iodine. She started feeling good almost immediately. She said she loves the fact that it's nascent iodine, but it's in capsule form. So, guys, listen to me. It's all about the quality of the product and the quality of the raw materials. Here's another interesting article. Spice beats chemotherapy, radiation, and surgery for brain cancer, studies are suggesting. This is a crazy story because this is what they're saying, is that glioblastoma, which is a particularly fast-growing and deadly form of brain cancer, which despite aggressive therapies is associated with survival rates that rarely surpass 2 years, actually it's around 1 year. Given the poor prognosis and the serious dangers linked to chemotherapy, surgery, and radiation to the brain, natural solutions are beginning to be taken more seriously by the medical community. Now, here's what's interesting about this. I'm going to tell you guys a story. About two and a half, three years ago now, I had a good friend of mine. His son basically collapsed on a bicycle out in Denver, Colorado, and was hospitalized. When he was hospitalized, he ended up having a MRI done, and they found that he had a baseball-sized glial tumor in his brain with tentacles throughout the brain. They went in and did emergency surgery on him to remove the pressure from his brain, remove this giant tumor mass. But then they came in, and they had to go back in about 2 days later, 3 days later, open him up again and retract and get more of it out, but they couldn't get the tentacles out. He was told this: you have 90 days to live without chemotherapy and radiation. You have 90 days, that's as long as you'll live, without therapy. And if you do the chemotherapy and the radiation, since you don't have any insurance, it's going to take you about $1 million, and you'll stay alive for about one more year, and then you'll die at the end of 12 months. That's what he's told. Now, I don't know why in the world they think they're God and they can make this type of prognosis, but that's what they do. He was told, if you don't do anything, you're dead in 90 days. If you spend $1 million, you're dead in 12 months. The boy's 21 years old, he's just become an adult. And the sad part about it is he didn't know what to do. His dad didn't know what to do because they had gotten them all so confused with the medical folks. But I've known his father for like 35 years. And it was interesting. His dad called me up and says, what do you think I should do? So I sent him to a medical doctor that I know who works with tumors and with cancer in the area. And he actually started working with this doctor. And the doctor put him on large amounts of turmeric, which is exactly what they're talking about now with the spice that beats the brain cancer. So he's on vitamin C IVs, turmeric. He was also taking potassium iodine and vitamin D3. And gosh, listen to me, guys. A year after this had happened to him, he went back for another MRI. Remember now, he's supposed to be dead already. 90 days, he's supposed to be dead. A year later, he went to another doctor in the South Carolina area and basically had an MRI done. And the doctor didn't know what to say and refused to read the MRI to the father. And he said, you need to follow the protocol they told you out there in Denver, you know, for your son's treatment. And finally, my friend pressed the guy and said, look, here's the deal. I want to know what the MRI says. And the doctor says, I don't know what to tell you. I can't find any trace of cancer in this boy's brain. So that was interesting. Well, now fast forward another year and a half, kid's still doing good. Didn't do any chemotherapy, didn't do any radiation, but he did have the surgery, but he did a complete and total lifestyle change. Now remember, there are several things you really need to eliminate if you've been diagnosed with cancer. Number one, you have to get off all sugar. That's really important because it feeds the cancer. Number two, you've got to get off all alcohol. That's also very, very important. Number three, you've got to get off all coffee. Those three are absolutely paramount. You have to get off of those. Plus, you need to be eating non-GMO food, organic food, and you make sure you take a good quality, high-quality supplement. That's so, so very, very important. So, guys, find yourself a local medical doctor in your area if you have these types of diseases and help him help you by a natural protocol. It's very, very important. In fact, if you look at our website, the Healthy Immune System Protocol helps to rebuild your immune system. It's like a support protocol. And I'm not saying that it cures cancer. I'm not making any of those claims whatsoever. But what I am saying is this. It'll help to restore your natural immune system. Then you have to also pray and believe God that you're totally and completely healed. That's so, so important. And by the way, here's another first long-term study now has confirmed the world's most popular pesticide is wiping bees off the planet. Back to good old Monsanto again. Back in the 80s, Bayer developed a potent new class of pesticides called the neonics, which rapidly came to dominate the industrial agriculture. In 2008, it represented just 24% of the global market insecticides. Now it's the most widely used in the world. Almost all U.S. corn and about one-third of U.S. soybeans are treated with these neonics. A major advance happened when the agribusiness developed neonic-coated seeds, where every part of the growing plant becomes a pesticide. It's infused with a toxin, including the pollen of the seed. And now they're finding out that this is one of the primary reasons that these bees are dying globally, is the insecticides that are being raised now as plants and being infused with insecticides. So when the bee tries to get the pollen out of it, to pollinate, you know, the other crop and to get the honey, the bee drops dead because he's been sprayed with basically with an insecticide. I mean, the thing I don't get this is, who is the dummy who decided that we're going to go ahead and use a pesticide for a crop that has to be pollinated by bees, not thinking that the bees were insects and the pesticides would kill the insects? That doesn't make any sense to me. How do they even get that through their long-term study? Oh, that's right. There were no long-term studies. They really didn't care what they did. That's the truth. They didn't care what they did as long as they could increase the amount of revenue they could generate, Austin. What do you think, son?
That's exactly right. That's what it comes down to with all this stuff now, with the pharmaceuticals, with the chemotherapy, with the pesticides, with the glyphosate. It's all about overall revenue increase. And in my opinion, too, with a lot of these companies, they're in cahoots with the globalists, and it's all about how much they can depopulate the country and the rest of the world as well, in conjunction with increasing the revenues. This is a new article now that Sarah Napton wrote on the first analysis of deaths from chemotherapy alone, and it's warning now hundreds, if not thousands, are dying from chemotherapy. They said patients should be warned about the dangers of chemotherapy after research showed that cancer drugs are killing up to 50% of patients in some hospitals. For the first time, researchers looked at the number of cancer patients who died within 30 days of starting chemotherapy, which is a clear indicator that the medication was the cause of death rather than the cancer. The study by Public Health England and Cancer Research UK found that across England, around 9% of patients with lung cancer and 3% of breast cancer patients died within a month. But in some hospitals, the figure was much higher. In Milton Keynes, the death rate for lung cancer was 50.9%. At Lancaster Hospital, the 30-day mortality rate was 28% for chemotherapy for lung cancer, which is given when a cure is not expected and treatment is given to alleviate symptoms. Similarly, around 1 in 5 people who underwent chemotherapy care for breast cancer at Cambridge University hospitals died from their treatment. 1 in 5, guys, that's 20%. The study looked at more than 23,000 women with breast cancer and nearly 10,000 men with non-small cell lung cancer who underwent chemotherapy in 2014. Of this study, they did 1,383 individuals died within 30 days directly from chemotherapy. It is toxic for the body because it does not discriminate between healthy and cancerous cells. Professor David Dodwell, Institute of Oncology at St. James Hospital, UK, said, "I think it's very important to make patients aware that there are potentially life-threatening downsides to chemotherapies, and doctors should be much more careful about who they treat with chemotherapy." That's strong, guys, and we've talked about this numerous times with the chemotherapy, is that a lot of times people don't end up dying from the cancer. They end up dying from the chemotherapy. And right now, that article just confirms exactly what we've been saying for years about that, that chemotherapy may be an option at some times, but you really have to evaluate, as Dad was just talking about, with the brain cancer. You really need to know all of your options and weigh them out and figure out what's the best option for you. Don't let them put all that scare and that fear in you that you have to do chemotherapy right now. You have to start it right now. You're going to die if you don't start chemotherapy. Because quite frankly, as this research just showed, there's a good possibility, a very good possibility, you may die directly from the chemotherapy and not even the cancer.
You know, what's interesting, Austin, the other night we were in Denver, and Katie Whalen, Dave Hodges' co-host, was there. And Katie last year was diagnosed with an aggressive form of malignant brain cancer. They biopsied. Actually, they did a lumpectomy. They removed it, and they said they didn't get it all out.
and they put her in a room and told her basically she needed to have a mastectomy or she needed to start on chemotherapy and radiation immediately. And she told me this story the other night with Sharon when we were sitting here in the motorhome. And, you know, it's an interesting place to be in an RV where basically you start talking about this kind of crazy stuff. And Katie now has been basically given a clean bill of health by her oncologist and her doctor so that she's totally and completely cured. And she said they put her in a room after they told her she had cancer with a whole bunch of pamphlets about different types of radiation and chemotherapy for her to read just to scare her. They left her in there for about 8 minutes, she said, just to mess with her head. And finally she walked back out and she goes, why am I in here? Why do you have me in this room? What do you want me to do? Said, well, you need to read to decide what kind of protocol you want to follow. It's going to be the radiation or the chemotherapy. And she basically said, well, I'm not going to try either. So she left. And then she found a doctor out in Denver who worked with her naturally, and they got her completely cured of the breast cancer, and now her doctors diagnosed her as being cured, gone, with no radiation and no chemotherapy. So I applaud these medical doctors who are willing to do that. Now, what's interesting about this is this. You know, how many times do you get scared when you go to the doctor's office? We talked about this yesterday. Well, you've got a blockage in this artery of your heart. You need immediate cardiovascular surgery. Well, no. Why does it have to be immediate? I'm still breathing and I'm still okay. Oh, you have breast cancer. You need immediate chemotherapy and radiation. They try to get you to do it before you have a chance to think about it or to get multiple opinions. And that's what's really sad, because with mastectomies, you know, you don't get a second chance with those. And also remember, a lot of folks are doing they basically do the mammograms. In some cases up to a 50% false positive. And these women actually undergo treatment, something they don't even have. So this is a crazy industry, and they don't really want to stop cancer, because cancer is a very high profitability product, as far as I can say, if I can say that way. They make so much money in the long-term and short-term usage of chemotherapy and radiation, Austin. They really don't want to shut that entire industry down, which is literally hundreds of billions of dollars a year in revenue. And sadly, it happens all the time that people die with chemotherapy. And I'm glad these studies are coming out, because one study came out that we read a few months ago said there's like a 2 to 3% increase in, you know, living longer with chemotherapy. There's like a 3 to 4% margin of error on the statistics, which means they say basically there's a zero chance of living any longer doing chemotherapy. Personally, if I was having to make a decision like that, I would just go the natural route. That's what I would do. I would have no interest in doing chemotherapy or radiation, because quite frankly, as far as I'm concerned, they kill more people than they help, Austin. But here's another interesting article. The Zika pesticide is linked to 60% increase in autism. How about that? Is this the beginning of an epidemic? And what they're saying, in a 2014 study conducted at the University of California, showed that pregnant women were living within a few miles of farms where the pesticide like Malin was sprayed at a 60% increased risk of their child developing autism and autism spectrum disorders or experiencing developmental delays. Dr. David Perlmutter, a board-certified neurologist, said the authorities need to take a step back and look at the broader picture of these spraying interventions and weighing up the risks versus the benefits. Guys, we've covered this in detail. I'm not going to talk about it anymore. This whole Zika thing is a giant hoax trying to get people to take more and more drugs and to also get more and more immunizations and also allow themselves to be sprayed. One more article I want to cover, Austin, I'll go back to you. Elevated leptin causes autoimmune thyroid disorders, Hashimoto's, and Graves' disease. Leptin makes you feel like you're full, and they're saying that when you start having too many health problems, you have all kinds of thyroid disorders because of elevated leptin. Now, what's interesting about this, we know that high fructose corn syrup is a culprit in messing up the ghrelin and the leptin orders, the levels in the blood. So, guys, again, stay away from high fructose corn syrup. Simply don't put it in your body at all. It's incredibly poisonous. It makes you feel like you're starving to death when you eat it, and it makes you feel uncontrollably hungry. So not only are you not full, but you're uncontrollably hungry. And one more quick article. This is from Trump to Mexico. This is from Kit Daniels. He says, let's stop globalism together. Trump says, prosperity will return to both the U.S. and Mexico if both countries work together on trade and illegal immigration. Donald Trump said in a speech with Mexican president, which promoted the nationalism of both countries over globalism. After meeting with President Nieto in Mexico City for hours to discuss a variety of issues and to mend their differences, Trump said the first step both countries should take is ending illegal immigration, not just between our two countries, but including the illegal immigration and migration from Central and South America, the people going into Mexico from other regions, which impacts security and finances both Mexico and the United States. This is a humanitarian disaster, the dangerous treks, the abuse by gangs and cartels, and the extreme physical dangers, and it must be solved quickly. A secure border is the sovereign right of a nation that's mutually beneficial, he added. Cooperation in achieving this shared objective and will be shared of safety for all citizens is paramount to both the United States and to Mexico. Trump pointed out, he also said Mexico and the U.S. need to work together to revamp NAFTA so both countries can work together to compete in trade agreements against the rest of the world. You gotta love it. Oh, by the way, he flew to Mexico City in an unmarked plane because the Mexican cartel, drug cartel that works with our CIA, has already told him they want to have him killed, so he flew on a private commercial jet down there. So I commend him for not flying his Trump his Trump plane off. So what do you think about that?
Oh, yeah, I saw that article, too, on there. I mean, that was definitely a smart move. They took a small private jet, commercial private jet that was unmarked. That was definitely a good move. There's no reason to flaunt anything down there, especially if the cartel put a hit on it. But, no, he's absolutely right, especially with NAFTA. I mean, they have to understand that. I mean, that was one of the things, I think, in 94, is it really caused a lot of unemployment in Mexico, which caused a lot of illegal immigrants to flood into the U.S. I know one of the biggest things they talked about is in NAFTA is the price of corn and bringing it so low that it wasn't possible to plant corn anymore from an economic standpoint. So there's a lot of things they can do if we can work with Mexico and together to really bring that country up with us as we become stronger and better again. And it was funny because I saw one of the articles, too, how Hillary, she hasn't had a press conference in ages. She has a press conference, and the only thing she can talk about is the fact that Trump went to Mexico and didn't spend enough time down there. How he went down there for a few hours and how we can't expect to increase foreign relations and make better, basically, relationships with other countries by only spending a few hours. It's long-term, diligent work that we have to put in. And I was sitting there laughing. I was like, oh, is that the kind of work that we put in Benghazi and Libya over there? Is that the type of relations that we really worked on that worked so well for us? So I thought it was funny. The only thing she could do is criticize Trump. And by the way, she still has not said, implied, or scheduled any type of trip to Mexico whatsoever so far during this campaign. So I have no idea what she's on or what meds they gave her today, because quite frankly, I think she's just completely going senile. The fact that she would even diss Trump when she doesn't even have a schedule to go down to Mexico and talk to him. So I thought that was kind of funny.
You got to remember, the last emails that were released that we covered last week with her, that were just released by the FBI and through WikiLeaks, it was shown that she was giving Ambassador Stevens location day by day where he was going to be and what he was going to be doing in her Dropbox that was being given to the Libyans and to the terrorists in that area who wanted to have Ambassador Stevens killed because that's what they wanted to have done through the CIA. So I guess what she wants to do is to go ahead and make sure that when Trump goes down there, she'll have his itinerary so she can leak it on her email server so people can try to get the boy killed. I don't understand why there'd be another reason why she'd be so worried about him only being there for a few hours. Oh my God, he was only there for a few hours. I had the perfect opportunity to have him killed, and I couldn't get him killed fast enough, so therefore, he's back in the United States. Who does he think he is? He was only there for 2 hours. I couldn't leak his information. I mean, are you joking me? This lady's a menace. She's a menace. She's a globalist. She's a witch. On top of everything else, she's just plain downright nasty and mean. So, yeah, we don't need her as president of the United States. In fact, President Obama's doctor says that Hillary needs to undergo a neurological examination right now to see if she's fit. According to Dr. David Shiner, who was President Obama's personal physician from 87 to 2008 for 20 years, Hillary Clinton said should undergo a neurological exam to prove that she's fit for office. The majority of the CNN interview with Shiner, who personally assessed Obama to be in excellent health before he entered the White House, dwelled on Donald Trump's health, but discussion of Hillary's medical condition threw up the most interesting comment. Asked if a note from Hillary's personal physician saying she was in good health and had recovered from her 2012 concussion when she cracked her head open was good enough, Shiner disagreed. She's also 68 years old. While I think the medical letter was well written, it's not enough, he said. Shiner highlighted the fact that Hillary is taking Coumadin, a medication to prevent blood clots, which basically is rat poison. You have to monitor that. I'd like to know how well she's being controlled. That's a difficult drug to use. Also, I think she should have a neurological exam, a thorough neurological exam in 2016. We know what happens to football players who have concussions and how they begin to lose some of their cognitive ability.
I think both of them to release their records at records out of Dr. Shiner, who said he would be voting for Clinton. Well, crazy as he is, I mean, at least he has enough sense to know she should turn her medical records in, because voting for Clinton doesn't get my seal of endorsement anyhow. What do you think about that, Oz?
No, you're absolutely right. That's what I talked about in detail last week, is why don't we have the records of what's going on with her? Why won't they release anything? That ridiculous letter that that doctor even sent out, it was completely vague on what really is going on with her, and we need to have an unbiased medical test done that really sees what's going on, because, quite frankly, I don't think she's fit for anything. And it may, you know, and quite frankly, as weird as this may sound, it may not even be the medications or her health. She may be possessed by so many different demons, and she's so unbelievably out of control that she's acting bizarre. I'm not even joking. I mean, it sounds horrible. It sounds really, really weird. But it really does make more sense if you start thinking about it from this standpoint. Because why would the globalists want to put somebody in office that's basically going to croak out after 6 months because their health is so poor? It doesn't make sense to me. But I'm just saying, this is my opinion. You know, a lot of people don't always agree with me, but I'm just putting it out there.
Well, I don't think anybody really, I don't think anybody disagrees at all on Hillary Clinton's demon possessed. I think her witchcraft is probably seen to that. So I don't think that that's even a far out statement. And I, quite frankly, if she had to deny Moloch or deny Lucifer or deny any of these demons that she's all tied up with, I don't think she would do it. I remember years ago we had a restraining order hearing on a lady who was basically a witch in our neighborhood, and she had made some really threatening accusations in some letters that she had written me. And I basically got her before the judge, and when he asked her if she was a witch or a Luciferian or she practiced black magic card art, she denied everything. I mean, she said, I plead the fifth, what she said. And she didn't come out and deny her God, Lucifer. She didn't do that. Can't. If they do that, then basically it's like rejecting Christ if you're a Christian. They won't do that. But what she did is I plead the fifth. Austin, you were there. You heard it too. You were
oh, yeah.
Courtroom.
I was in the courtroom.
I plead the fifth. You know, and so the truth of the matter is I'd like to get her up on a doggone stage and say, hey, what's your relationship with Lucifer? Are you a witch? I mean, do you really have a covenant in L.A.? I mean, do you believe in all that stuff, or you reject right now in front of all of these people and you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? That's what I'd like to ask. That's what I'd like to ask her right there in the spot and see what she would do. By the way, talking about her judgment, zero hedge. According to a note from CNBC, the Clintons are so tight with their chef that back in 2011 when the Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton, was able to charter a G5 on the government expense to attend his Navy retirement ceremony in San Diego for Hillary's official schedule below. She also bought Bill, Chelsea, and her mom, and Dorothy Rodham along for the ride. The extra seats were just going to be wasted otherwise. Might as well bring the whole family and enjoy the lovely San Diego weather. Given the critical nature of his service to the Clintons, we probably shouldn't be surprised that Hillary would charter a $90,000 G5 at taxpayers' expense to attend his retirement ceremony. She must have had some other official business to do in San Diego. She probably had to meet with her witch's coven. Aside from the retirement ceremony of her former chef that required her presence, right? Well, apparently not. For her schedule, there were a couple of FYIs, but no official meetings outside of the florist retirement gathering. Just a lot of free time to enjoy the beautiful Estancia Hotel in La Jolla and the 68-degree weather. I mean, this lady, when she moved out of the White House, basically backed the U-Haul up to the White House and unloaded artwork, silverware, and stole hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of stuff. Just stole it. Loaded it up, of which most was never returned. I mean, do we really want these grifters, these con people, back in the White House again? My response is absolutely no. What do you think, Austin?
You're absolutely right about that. I mean, a G5, I mean, is that really necessary? I mean, there's a lot of other very nice, very small, you know, mid-sized jetliners you can get for a reasonable price if you ever want to rent one. A G5 is one of the pinnacle of luxury private jets in the world. So, yeah, it doesn't surprise me that taxpayers footed that bill for that. That's what these guys do. And that's one of the biggest aspects that I've been so adamant about, guys, with anybody from Congress to Senate to all these top guys. I'm not saying they can't have decent things. I'm not saying they shouldn't have luxury when they're in that level of, you know, authority in the United States. But I'm saying there needs to be some types of checks and balances. There has to be some type of level of, you know, accountability with these people, and that they can't just go and just urinate through money at a taxpayer's expense because they want to do this and they want to do that. Last time I was reading the thing on Obama's husband, or his wife, excuse me, his wife, Michael, Michelle, she basically has like 28 aides on staff all the time, around like $3 million a year in salary, which is all these people that are around her all the time doing all this stuff. I don't have the article in front of me or else I'd quote all of it off, but it's outrageous as far as what these people spend money on, and it's completely and totally frivolous spending. There's no useful purpose to it whatsoever, and this just goes to show you like that. So that's one thing that I do admire and I like about the idea of Trump, is that his level of success that he's established on his own now, he doesn't need taxpayer funding. Quite frankly, I highly doubt he would even use much of the money from the White House expenditure budget to use on himself if it was personal at all. I don't think he would need to. I mean, he's flying around in his own private jet that he already owns, that he's paying for at his own expense to fly around the country and do all these tours and do all these seminars and do all these rallies and everything else. So he doesn't need to do this. Everybody else, they get in there and it's like, oh, we got an open checkbook. We got a black card. Let's just spend it. We don't have to pay for it. Somebody else will foot the bill. And that's what they do, man. And that's a really, really just sore area for me, that these people take advantage of essentially all of us, the taxpayers, that are footing the bill. And we're going further and further and further in the debt while these guys just run up bills for absolutely no reason at all.
I agree 100%. By the way, guys, we're almost out of time, so I want to say goodbye. I love you guys. I really want you to know I thank you for listening, supporting healthmasters.com, which brings you this show every day. We pretty much make it commercial free, so you guys can just really enjoy the news the way we present it. At least we enjoy presenting it this way. I was a little fever there, but we love you and I appreciate you. Thank you for at least getting your multiple vitamins from us. Thank you for signing up for our email list and getting your newsletters from us so we can help you with your health issues and concerns. If you have any questions, just please feel free to email the office or to call us. We're here to help you. 1-800-726-1834, healthmasters.com. Awesome. Let's go ahead and close. Love you guys. I appreciate you guys, and I'll talk to you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Yes, we appreciate it. Thank you guys for everything, the emails, the phone calls. Thank you for the support, guys, the orders, the comments. We appreciate them all. You guys have a wonderful, blessed night. Stay safe, and we'll be back on with you guys again tomorrow, same time as always, 3 to 4 Eastern Standard Time. Talk to you guys later.